Pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
Let's read together in Joshua 24, verse number 19. And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God, and He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses. Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey." We've been asking the question and giving it in a sermon series here, what makes a nation great? And we began with looking at godly homes, and we said godly homes make a nation great. Then we looked at young people, and we said godly young people make a nation great. We've continued with fathers and churches last week, and today we continue in this wonderful chapter of Joshua number 24, and I want to sum this series up with this very thought: we must choose. What makes a nation great are Christians who will choose. What is the focal point of Joshua chapter 24? What's the verse that we all know? It's verse number 15. We know that Joshua says there to do what? Choose. Choose. He said choose. We get a lot of information, especially as Christians who attend church regularly. You get lots of information thrown at you. And then you have to take that information and you have to decide, what am I going to do with this? The problem for most of us is that we just become people who store information. We're never people who act upon that information. God help us to become people who take the information that's presented to us and choose to do something about it. We love to see people in the media who've chosen to do something with the information that's been given to them. Whether you're a left-winger or a right-winger, whether you're conservative or you're liberal, or whether you're a Christian or an atheist, no matter where you stand in the grand scheme of things, when someone who thinks like you takes a stand or chooses to do something with where they are in life and it becomes popular, you like that. The problem is we like to see someone else do it while we sit comfortably in our own little worlds and do nothing with the information that's been presented to us. Do you understand that someday we're going to give an account to God for His Word and what we've done with what we've been given through His Word? This is exactly the information that Joshua presents to this people here this morning. As he says, we read, he says, you can't serve God. They had just said a few verses before, we choose to serve God, Joshua. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And what did the people come back and say? They said, yeah, us too, we'll serve the Lord. And he follows that up by saying, you can't serve God. That's a hard thing to say to them, isn't it? That's not very nice. That's like me getting up and saying, all right, if you're proud to be an American this morning, let's stand up and show me how proud you are to be an American. And then as soon as you stand up, I'll say, none of you are even citizens. Of course, you would just call me crazy and you'd know you're citizens and it'd be all right. But Joshua is this nation's leader. He was, for all intents and purposes, their president or their pastor or the leader of their denomination. I mean, he was in charge. He was important. What he said meant something. There was some clout that went with it. That's why it's in the Bible. And Joshua says to these people here, as we begin reading in verse number 9, you cannot serve the Lord. Well, that's tough, isn't it? I'd like to talk to you about that this morning, with the idea of you must choose. If you want a godly home, choose. If you want to be a godly young person, choose. If you want to have godly youth in your home, choose. If you want to be a godly father or a godly mother, choose. Choose to have a great nation. Choose to be a Christian. Choose to serve God in everything that you do. As we celebrate our nation's Independence Day, there are some things that we recognize about our nation and its history. I recognize that it was God who first led people to this great land. I recognize that it was those long ago leaders who chose to have a nation of religious freedom that brought us to where we are today. It was, and still is, those brave citizens who fight to keep our freedom. It's wonderful to recognize those of you here this morning. And this you and I, just your normal everyday citizen, who chooses daily to serve God. These choices make our nation great. Similar choices are what we've studied here in Joshua 24 that made Israel a great nation. Choosing God will make any nation a great nation. Do you agree with that this morning? Choosing God will make any nation a great nation. I'm proud to be an American, but I'd love to see other nations choose God as their God and be a nation whose God is the Lord and watch God bless that nation and allow them to prosper. It would be a wonderful sight to see across the world that there be other, for sake of better words, other Americas out there. This entire chapter revolves around verse number 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. And that's where we come back to today as we began at the beginning of June, choosing. Let's look at three things that are involved as we talk about we need you to choose. The first that we see is in verse number 19 and 20. We see this nation's dilemma. And Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that He hath done you good. That's a dilemma. That is a tough choice for these people to have to make. It's not as easy as the choice he presented with them just a few verses back. And really, we could ask, why is Joshua asking them again to choose? He's already asked them previously in this chapter, choose you this day whom you will serve. And what do the people say in verse number 16? They proclaim loudly, God forbid that we serve other gods. They said in verse number 18, we will serve the Lord for He is our God. So at this point, why does Joshua say to these people again, choose you this day whom you will serve? Did he forget? Maybe Joshua had already forgotten the choice they made, right? So why does he come back to them and then say, you need to choose again? Joshua wants these people to understand that this is not what we would call in our society now, modern times, this is not some sort of cheap grace. This is not, you haven't been serving God, but if you'll choose right now to serve God, everything will be better and your whole life will change just like that. Without doing anything else to go along with it, that's not what Joshua's giving these people. That's not what he's asking them to buy into. Thus, he brings up the thought here, you can't serve God because He's a holy God, because He's a jealous God. Joshua wants these people to understand that it's not just a decision that's going to get them there. It starts with a decision. But there's some things you're going to have to change in their lives for their nation to be great. Joshua is telling these people that God is finished playing games and it's time for them to choose Him once and for all. It's time for them to live out the choices that they make. It's very unique to me that their dilemma that they're facing here is similar to a couple preparing for marriage. You remember when you were preparing for marriage? Some of you tried to forget when you were preparing for marriage. I went to Florida the week before my wedding. My wife is still mad at me for that. Here she was getting our wedding together, and I went off to preach in Florida for a week. You know, preach in Florida near the beach. And swimming pools. And honey, I just believe the Lord wants me to go down there and take in that meeting. Preach to those people. They need my help. And I know you're going to be busy and I'll be praying for you. That's a dilemma, isn't it? But think back when you got married. You were in love, weren't you? I mean, more in love than you've ever been in love. Now, you guys come up here on your anniversary and you say, it's been 117 years and we're just as in love as we ever were. Y'all thought that was so funny, guys. I think I paid them to laugh this morning. And we say those things, but if you think back, you've never been as giddy in love as you were right before you got married. I mean, you were so in love with that person that you were willing to put a ring on your finger and say, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them no matter how ugly they look when they get old. That's what you're saying. Ladies, all right, guys, y'all are overdoing it. Thank you. Ladies, you were saying, I know he's going to gain weight, but I'm going to love him all the way through that, all the way to the end of that. And then, as in love as you were, then the preacher steps in. And he begins to start ruining things for you. If you think back, now some of you, you've kind of put the preacher on the spot. You showed up, said, we're getting married, and he went through his ceremony, and that was the end of it. But if you had any time to deal with the preacher before the wedding, he worked you through some things and made you think through some decisions and really broke down your wedding vows to you to make sure you understood what you were saying there. Now, any of you who didn't do this, I'm about to do that. So I'm not doing divorce counseling after church this morning, okay? If you didn't think it through then, you're not thinking it through now. You just ignore what I'm about to say. But think about the things the preacher makes you say. He says, he asks you this question. He says, in sickness and in health, right? Y'all remember that? Did y'all's preacher say that to you? That's not too bad, right? I mean, what kind of a horrible person would be with someone in health, but then they catch the flu and they say, I'm going to go marry someone else, so this isn't for me. But then he takes it a little farther, and he says, in poverty and in wealth. And then she says, let me see your checkbook again. Right? That's how it goes, right? In poverty and in wealth. Well, he's got a good job, and he better keep that good job. But yes, in poverty and in wealth. And then he says the big one. Anybody know the big one? Well, not yet. We'll get to that. Yeah, that is the big one. No, he says, as long as you both shall live. Or some of you in your wedding, it said what? Till death do us part. That's so negative. We change it now. Modern preachers, young guys like me who've gone liberal, we don't say death in the wedding ceremony, right? That's so just negative. We're thinking about weddings and babies and getting married and everything's positive, you know. Springtime. We don't want to throw winter in there and say death right in the middle of a wedding ceremony. So we say, as long as you both shall live. And then you're really thinking, well, I mean, I like this guy, but I don't know about that. Now, as long as we both shall live. What if we live to 102? I might want to do something else in the latter years of my life. And then the really bad. Do you promise? Some of you had your fingers crossed during this part, didn't you? Do you promise to respect them, to honor them? Those aren't too bad, but then to obey them. I don't know if I want to get married or not. Maybe we should date a little longer. It's funny, you know a man wrote the wedding vows, right? Did y'all know this? Because only the lady has to commit to obey. The man does not. But who does all the obeying, men, when things get down to it? Thought I'd get an enormous amen there. You guys are really good at obeying. You won't even amen the preacher when he brings it to light. Your wife's all had their elbow in your ribs. But really, that's the best illustration of what Joshua's presenting to these people. Their dilemma here this morning is not just the, you know, when you first start dating and you say, you know, I don't want to date you if you don't intend to marry me, so do you see marriage in our future? And, you know, the guy's halfway through his ice cream out on that first date, getting ready to go play putt-putt, and he really wants to play putt-putt. But if he says, no, I don't intend to marry you, there's no putt-putt in his future. So what does he say? Yes, I intend to marry you. That's kind of where Joshua and the people are in verse number 15. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And they're just on that first date, and they say, yeah, we'll serve the Lord. We hadn't really thought it through, but of course we will. Joshua presents them with a dilemma in verse 19 and 20, and he says things like, in sickness and in health, in poverty and wealth, in the good times and the bad, will you honor, obey, and respect Almighty God? And here they have to make a commitment. That's the choice they have to make. It's not a choice of, do you want to miss hell and that's all I'm bringing into it? Well, of course you do. Nobody wants to die and go to hell. Or do you want to spend the rest of your life in peace and harmony in heaven? Yes, everybody wants that. No, is it, will you go to Africa if God calls you to go? Will you live in poverty if that's what God leads you to do in your life? If God sends cancer into your life to bring purpose to others' life, will you battle through that for His honor and His glory? This is the dilemma. This is the choice that these people are making here. We have such a shallow Christianity these days that we're not willing to enter that. We just want fire insurance. I'm asking you today, after we've gone through this a month, you've heard these verses until you're sick of hearing them. We probably have memorized Joshua chapter 24 this morning, but I'm leaving you with the fact, choose. Stop going through life aimless. Choose today. Choose. Make that choice. This is how my family's going to be. This is how I'm going to be at work. This is how we're going to be at church. These are who we're going to be. We're sold out. We're going this route no matter what happens. The old timers would say, come hell or high water. Amen? We used to live that way. Now we say, well, if everything's sunshine and lollipops, then I'll be all right. That's how it is. And then come the high water, I'm running for high ground. Joshua presented the people here this morning with a dilemma, and he said, our nation's in a bad way. You've got to choose, or God's turning away from us. We're not far off here today as Americans. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to fly these flags. But if we don't choose, I'm afraid to see what the future holds. The dilemma. He says to them, you cannot serve the Lord. Now Joshua doesn't mean here that they never could. What he means is, as you are now, you cannot. Why? He gives them two reasons why. One, because God is holy, and God expects his people to be holy. Choosing to serve God means putting away unholy things. The second reason he gives them is because God is a jealous God. Joshua's saying to these people, God's not going to play games with you. God is not going to compete for your attention. We don't like to think of God like that, do we? But God is not going to compete for your attention. Choosing to serve God means being singularly devoted to him for the remainder of your life. Till death do you part. The good thing about God is death doesn't part you, does it? Death is only the beginning. Death brings you to God as a saved person. What a wonderful thought. So for Israel, that's the dilemma. If you can make the choice and then serve other gods, what does Joshua say God's going to do to you? This is a tough one. Look at it there in verse number 20. It's not my words. This is what Joshua said to him. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and he will do you, what's it say? Hurt. We like to question God when we hurt. Why, God? We talked about on Wednesday night God's purpose in our lives. A lot of times it's not because of our sin that God brings hurting into our lives. But sometimes it really is. It's just that easy. We're not serving him only. He's a jealous God and he's a holy God, and he expects that out of people who've accepted his free gift of salvation, who've accepted his redemption. He expects holiness out of them. And if you say, how do we publicly say that we've done that? We get baptized, right? We get up before the church and we allow the preacher to put us under the water and bring us up, and we die to ourselves and we're raised to live into new life. And then we go back to that old life after that. God is not going to put up with that. God has told you at that point in your life to choose, and you've chosen him, and he's not allowing you to sleep around on him, so to speak, in our terms. Your wife wouldn't allow it. Why would you think Almighty God would? That's why Joshua tells the people here, you can't serve the Lord. So Israel has their dilemma. Wonderfully that the passage turns, and I'm glad it does. None of you are grinning right now, but it gets better. In verse number 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. They said, Joshua, we're aware of all that. We appreciate you making us aware of all that because we needed to think that through. But even knowing this, Joshua, we still choose to serve the Lord. That's the right decision. It may have seemed like before that point that Joshua was trying to talk them out of it, but he wasn't. Joshua was just helping them to know what they got into. You ever gotten yourself into something that you weren't aware of what you were getting into, and then after the fact you thought, man, if I'd have known that, I'd have never done it. A man was trying to talk me into something at the baseball game last night, and he said, well, why don't you just try it for like 3 weeks? I said, no. If I try it for 3 weeks, I'll like it, and then I won't ever say no to it. Have you ever gotten yourself into that? Car dealer says, just take the car home for the weekend and drive it. Well, you're keeping it. Has anybody ever taken a car home for the weekend and not kept it? Has anybody? Maybe you have. Maybe you're a better person than me. One person in here has. And that's probably because he took it back and got the upgraded version. They still chose to serve the Lord. That's the right decision. Joshua didn't want them to enter it lightly or without the facts. But these people came to the conclusion that many of us have. One bad day serving the Lord is better than 100 days doing anything else. And you could go even farther to say there are no bad days serving God. Even the worst of days that we have as God's people, we still have God. We still have Jesus. We still have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. People look at some of you and they say, how do you keep such a strong face on? Facing death, when facing cancer, when facing financial hardship, when you lose your job, how did you keep such a smile on your face? And you tell them it's the peace of God. They don't understand that, do they? Because they've never experienced the peace of God. What did these people choose? They chose to serve God. They chose to serve only God. They chose to put away all other gods. They chose to remove anything unholy from their lives. They chose to be a nation whose God is the Lord. This is the place where we go from being great people to becoming a great nation. This is the time when things like abortion, religious persecution, poor stewardship, lack of character in leaders, public dismissal of sin, and public embracing of things unholy will no longer be accepted. A people whose God is the Lord, who have made the choice, I'm going to serve God, and God only will I serve, will not stand while things like that happen. We are a people who are choosing to serve God, and we want to be a great nation. That's what Israel decides here in verse number 20, 21. We will not sit idly by while ungodly things take place. That's the choice that Israel made. But to bring it up into history a little bit, I believe that's the choice that America's settlers made. I believe that's the choice that generations of Americans have made. And I believe that's the choice that this generation must make if we wish to continue having a great nation. You see, when it comes right down to it, all of this, it's all about God. Where you live, what you look like, the house you're in, the job you have, the children you have, the family you have, the church you go to, the color of the walls in the church, how green the grass is. All of it. None of that is as important. It's all about God. It's not about all those things. We allow those things to run our lives, but when it comes right down to it, it's just about God. We can make it about the economy. We can make it about politics. We can make it about schools. We can make it about sexual preference. We can make it about leaders. We can make it about anything else that we hear in the news. But when all is said and done, none of this is going to matter about outside of one big thing, and that's God. When you stand at the judgment one day, there will be no Supreme Court. There'll just be God. God made us. God redeemed us, and God expects us to serve Him. Israel made their decision here. How about you? We get so proud of people we see in the public eye, in the news, in the media. I said, well, I'm glad they made their stand. And we just sit idly by and do nothing. There once was a time where not one single man, or one, and him and his family, would sit idly by while anything that they thought wasn't right went wrong. Do you love old westerns? I know it's just TV, but I appreciate the morals that they push in those old westerns. This guy'd be over there blacksmithing, banging out some horseshoes, you know, minding his own business, and he'd see something go a little bit wrong that maybe wasn't against the law. It was against moral law. It just wasn't right. He'd beat the dude up over it or shoot him. Right? And you ever notice how empty the jails are in those old Western movies? You know why they weren't in jail? They were dead. They were in the graveyard. Now, I'm not saying we ought to just start killing people. But you know what we do? We just sit by, let it happen. We tell our wives, well, that ain't right. Maybe not even that loud, though, right? I don't want anybody to hear us. And we do nothing. Israel made their decision, and we're going to have to make our decision. We'll either make our decision voluntarily, or the day will come in our nation where we really will have to choose. Whether it's because a gun's put to your head, or because a court is you're brought before a court, sometime you're going to have to make a choice. It's coming to that. Choose now. Change things before they get to that point. You know the old saying, be the difference you wish to see in the world. Last thing we see here is this nation's determination. Verse 22 down to verse number 24. Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him. He said, hey, you guys did. You said this. I warned you. I told you, if you make this choice and you turn against it, God's going to hurt you. He's tired of playing games. Look how determined these people are. And they said, you're right, we are. We are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and His voice will we obey. I like a person with good intentions. Good intentions are where it all starts. But I am impressed by a person with the determination to work out their good intentions. Amen? like somebody who does something about their good intentions. Israel not only chose, but they determined to stick with it. Look at their determination. They said, "We are witnesses. We are our accountability. We are the ones who've decided together, and I'm going to make sure he doesn't back out of this, and I'm going to make sure he doesn't back out of this, and he's going to make sure I don't back out of this." Joshua tells them, "Don't forget what you've decided here. You've all heard one another. You are witnesses." And they said, "Yes, we are." And then Joshua tells them, "Put away your gods." It's one thing to come to church this morning and hear a sermon preached like this and decide, "Yeah, that's right, I'm going to do better." But it's another thing to go home and rearrange your life so that you do better. Another thing to go home and to put away your gods. Say, "Well, I don't have gods." Sure you do. Anything that you put before Almighty God in your life is a god. And then they were determined to obey God's voice. God doesn't want you and I to choose and then just sit. God calls you, or God enables you, or God burdens you for something in your life with purpose. Obey God's voice. Don't just choose, "I'm going to serve God," but obey His call to do whatever it is He's enabled you to do, whatever He's burdened you to do. You know that time when you sit back and you say, "Well, I wish somebody would do this," or "I feel like somebody ought to do that"? That feeling inside is God wanting you to do that thing. And it's never going to happen until you do. And then be determined to stick with the choice you've made. So for a month now, you've heard me go on and on about Israel's choice to serve God. My question to you this morning is, what are you doing with that information? Are you just storing it? Or are you going to act upon it? It's time for things to stop heading in the direction they're going. And that's never going to happen until each person in here chooses to serve God and to serve Him only. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says a very similar thing here that we read from Joshua. He says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other."
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. We can be reached online at parfithbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.